All right, so let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I want to step back and I want to let Jesus preach a little bit on the important stuff. I'm just going to let Jesus preach a little bit. I'm going to share a little in the middle of it. Not that he didn't say enough. It's just I kind of feel like I should, since I'm up here and all. So Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 19. Let's pray first. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us. I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for leaving your word, that God, we have that manual and that book to follow after. I thank you, Lord, for the absoluteness of who you are. God, I pray that you minister to us this morning, that you speak to us, Lord. Help us to walk in you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just kind of wrote a little bit of a header around each verse. And I want to start at verse 19 of Matthew 6 and go all the way to the end of the chapter. And then I have a few things I just kind of want to, I wrote down, I thought it'd be kind of cool to share. I think Wednesday night something was said about priorities and then Gideon and Hadassah, the skit they're doing was with Lazarus and Martha, like 10 years after Jesus died or after Lazarus was raised from the dead. But anyways, about 10 years after, what would they be like? What would they be talking about if they were just hanging out? And I thought that was really cool. And of course, Martha and Mary's little interaction with Jesus, when Martha was busy about much and Jesus said of Mary, because she was sitting at his feet, Jesus says she's picked the good things, the best. And so a little bit of all that mixed together just had my mind going back to the important stuff, the real stuff, those things that we need to do, those things that we need to be a part of. And Matthew chapter 6 is so chock full and just so real and vivid of where we need to have our hearts. You know, if you consider what Jesus is asking for from us, he talks in one place, he says, you need to hate your father and mother, sister and brother, husband, wife, all this, and take up your cross and follow him and love him. He's not looking that we hate one another as much as he's saying that our love for him needs to be so great that it almost seems like neglect for everything else in our life. Have you ever been so preoccupied with something that you forget everything else in your life? You ever get so preoccupied with something that you leave dishes in the sink? Everybody but Sister Gina. She doesn't leave dirty dishes behind. But I just said that kind of tongue in cheek. But have you ever just got so preoccupied in something that you've forgotten everything else? Nothing else seems. God says, I want to be so much and so important in your life that everything else just kind of gets put on the back burner. So what is the most important thing in your life? Now I love you all, and if you call me and have a need, if I can, I'll help out. But I will tell you that if my family has a need first, I got to tend to that first. Now, we always go in priorities. You know, if your house is burning down and you have a need, I might go before, some smaller priority. But we have that priorities, and you need to put something first. And man, I'm telling you what, you got to put God first and foremost over everything. So those priorities in life are very, very important. I just wrote some comments next to what Jesus is saying. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon this earth, or upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Jesus dealing with the temporal. Isn't it hard sometimes? Do you ever find it hard in your own life to look past the temporal and look to the eternal? To look past what you can see to what you can't see. And we keep trying to teach our young people to do things now when they're young because it'll pay off when they're older. But if you ask most of the young people, let me just try this. Tamara, can you ever picture yourself being as old as me? It's just so far away, it doesn't seem real, does it? But you know someday you more than likely will be, right? I mean, you know, dirt even got this old once. But, you know, it's hard to see that which isn't there. It's so far out of grasp. The temporary is here constantly. But Jesus reminds us, and he says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Nothing is permanent here. Nothing is forever here. You can buy the fanciest, nicest cars. They will rust. They will go away. I crawled up underneath one of the vans we were looking at yesterday, and I saw a little rusty spot on a water line. And I promise you, I didn't push. I didn't scrape. I just brushed my finger along it, and rust fell off of it, and a stream of water, antifreeze, comes pouring down onto the ground. I'm like, oops, I just broke their van. But nothing, everything rusts, everything fades away. There comes a time when all those things that you put your pride and hope in will no longer be worth anything. Hey, just look at gold. There's ebb and flows to everything. There's coming a time when it won't be worth anything. Jesus says, don't focus on the temporal, focus on the permanent. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. Jesus said, look for the permanent. And then he gives us a mindset to look at in verse 21. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do you treasure? What do you love so much? What do you focus on? Where does your, mind go in the daytime when you just have some downtime? Anybody else get bored on their job? Sarah says, yeah. Anybody else get bored on their responsibilities in life and your mind just starts wandering? Where does it wander to? Let me tell you what, that is what is important to you. Where your mind wanders is what's important to you. And let me tell you another thing, you can discipline it to go into the direction and place that you want it to go. So all of a sudden you're sitting around and your mind starts wandering and you start thinking, oh, I don't know, let's just throw something out there. I'm going to say, because it's so important to me and I want to hear you all say, oh, I'll start thinking of my wife. Thank you. So my mind is wandering and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking of my wife, and that's not a bad thing to think about. You know, it's okay. You think about your spouse, your someone you love, your family, whatever. That's okay to think on that, but it's not the best thing. And so I find, all right, an hour has passed and I'm still thinking of, all right, it's time that I need to discipline. So all of a sudden I'm like, I want to think on the things of God, and I start focusing on it. I talk about my sisters often. Well, in this respect, I say this very often. You've heard it said before, but growing up with two sisters in the house and no brothers, I learned something. You can talk yourself into loving anybody or anything. They would find a boy that they thought was cute. Oh, that Gideon is so cute. And so then they would take and they would write his name up on in their folder. Remember Trapper Keepers? You're old if you remember a Trapper Keeper. But they wrote their name up on the folder, up on the Trapper Keeper, or up on a spiral notebook or something. They write their, and they'd even find, what's his middle name? And they'd write his middle name down. And if he was any sports, they'd write his jersey number down and write his weight down and his phone number. And they'd have stats on him. It's like a baseball card or something inside their notebook. There comes a time when the boy would do something stupid and the girl would stop liking him, so she'd have to go get a new spiral notebook or Trapper Keeper or whatever. But she'd write everything. And then every time she opens the page, his name was there. Boys never did that. I never did that. Did anybody else? Now, we might have a picture in our wallet, and we might open it up and look at her. But we never wrote down all of her stats like that. But they would do that. And boy, that's all they would talk about forever. Oh, Gideon. Oh, he's so Gideon this and Gideon that. And I hated it when my sisters did. But they focused so much that their heart was sold out. And let me tell you, when you set your mind on the things of God and you focus on Him so much, all of a sudden, that's where your heart will be. That's where your treasure. You put Him somewhere. Brother Joe, when he signs his last name, Chastain, he takes that T and instead of just crossing the T, he puts the cross strategically so it reminds him of a cross. I have a guy at work that whenever he sees the number 111, it draws his mind towards the things of God. I don't know what you need to plant in your life, but plant something in your life so you keep running into it and it reminds you of God. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But the flip side, put your focus on Him and your heart will tend to draw with you. And he'll become the most important thing to you. And then it don't seem so far off. Eternity doesn't seem so far off. I asked Tamara about being as old as me, and she says, I can't ever imagine being that old. Because I should be with a walker or a cane or something, shouldn't I? I mean, I'm just like a breath away from a wheelchair or something. She couldn't imagine being that old. But I'll tell you what, I can imagine being 52. 52 works for me. Because for almost 23 years, I have been thinking about 52. You know what 52 is, right? I can retire at 52 years old. I have had my mind, I've had my heart set on that. Now it may or may not work, and I'll be disappointed if it doesn't, but it may or may not work. But I'm looking at it and thinking 52. And so because I've looked at that for 20 some years, it's a reality to me. It's right there. It's important to me. I can visualize it. I can see it because it's been so much. If you set your mind on the things of God so much, he won't be elusive to you. It won't be a pie in the sky. Heaven won't just be this concept. It will become real to you. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Set your mind on the things of God and let it. And that goes to the light, or to the focus. Verse 22, Matthew 6, 22, it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus, we've got to focus. The light of the body is the eye. We've got to set our focus. We've got to set our priorities. In verse 24, no man can serve two masters. This one is huge. Our priorities. No man can serve two masters, period. For either he will love or he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But you can't serve God in anything. It's either all God or it's all nothing. I remember, and I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it because it capitalizes it so well. I remember coming to church one Sunday, and I wanted to go to the car show, and I wanted to chase after girls, and I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do that, and I had all these things in my mind that I wanted. Sorry, honey. But I had all these things in my mind that I wanted. Doug said I was the bravest man in the world because I'd say stuff. But, I mean, I wasn't married then. But I want all these things I wanted to do. But instead, I was sitting in my mom's 1987 Chevy Nova. Ooh. 1.8 liter, four-cylinder piece of junk. I hit a tree stump with it one day, got stuck. Bent the little tow thing up. Over at Danny Trout's, four guys came, picked up the front of it, and lifted it off of there for me. What a piece of junk. I hated that car. I'm not going to the car show. I'm driving in my mom's 87. You know, in order to drive that car, I had to take the clothes, the whole family's clothes to the laundromat and wash them every Sunday. After church, I'd go home, get all the laundry baskets, put in the back of the car, and go to the laundromat. You realize how bad it was being a 17-year-old boy, and I don't mean to be vulgar or nothing, but I had to you're sitting there at a laundromat washing your sister's clothes. I wasn't the coolest kid, but that was payment for me getting to drive her car. And I'm driving to church thinking to myself, I should be having a whole lot more fun as a kid than I'm having right now. It says, no man can serve two masters. I wanted to serve God because there was a thing about the people in church that was different than anywhere else in this world. I saw things in the church that I didn't see anywhere else. I saw a truth and a validity in the church that I didn't see. And I wanted that. But I also wanted to have my youthful fun. You can't serve both masters. And I thank God, and it was the best choice of my life where I said, forget everything else. I'm going to church. And not only am I going to church, but I'm going to lay all those things aside and I'm not going to serve them anymore. I'm going to focus on the things of God, and whatever I need to do, I'm going to be, and put it in air quotes, I'm going to be the good Christian. whatever that looks like, whatever. I wanted to be, and I wanted to follow after God. I wanted the things of Christ. That's what I wanted more than anything else. And so I made a decision that day, and I decided to turn my back on all the other things. And I says, car show, tough. There'll be another one somewhere else if I make it. But I'm going to church. I'm going to go to, and not only am I going to go to church, I'm going to go home. I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm going to study. I'm going to pray. I'm going to learn. I'm going to look for God. I'm going to be wholehearted man of God, prioritized. No man can serve two masters. If you've got something else in your life vying for mastery, one of them will have to cancel out. One of them will suffer. Unfortunately, in our life, we see more people allowing the things of God to suffer than the things of this world. Let me tell you, when you go by the way that we all go by, and they put you in that box, and they put you in the ground, or they put you in that oven and sweep up your ashes, or whatever they're going to do to you, you will not look back and say, man, I wish I would have gone to one more car show. All right, I say his name wrong every time. Stephen Hawking? I've been dying to say it. But he realized all of a sudden there is a God. That's his name, right? Stephen Hawking, the atheist that finally died here recently, realizes today there is a God. And I'm telling you what, at that point, he didn't look back and say, oh, I wish I had one more lecture to give. Church, when you have that, when you're in that place, prioritize now, because when you're in that place, you'll never wish you could have done one more bad thing on this earth. One more thing you shouldn't have. You'll just look at, and if you had it right, you'll say, thank you, God. Because those things that we have coming up, that which we have right here is not worthy to be compared with those things that we have coming up ahead. Pertaining to life. Temporal things pertaining to life. Jesus goes into temporal things. Verse 25, pertaining to life. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. It is more, is not light, the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Jesus said, don't get caught up in all these things. Now remember, you need to put this in perspective. This is a huge comparison. Because diet is important. Actually, eating is important. You know, you go a few days without it, it affects you. Jesus isn't saying you don't pay attention to what you're eating. He's saying in comparison to the things of God, to the permanent, to the eternal, forget these other things. They don't work. Pertaining to labor, we have to work, right? Verse 26 says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? He says, don't worry about your labor. Don't worry about what you're doing in life. Again, we need to function. Occupy till he comes. We need to function. But in comparison, it's not that big of a deal. Pertaining to your physique, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? It's not that important. Pertaining to material possessions, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. Has anybody ever had too much month left at the end of your money? How many in here has died because you had too much month left at the end of your money? No hands. Put your hand down tomorrow. That was a convenient stretch. But it'll be okay. It'll be okay. I understand there's a danger in it. But my car has broke down at the side of the road many times. It's been okay every single time. It's been inconvenient. Especially the day when I was driving home and I got a flat tire at 2 in the morning and I had to be back at work at 6. That one was inconvenient. But it's okay. We lived through it. Now we got a funny story. We got cool. And these things drive you nuts. And the things of life, that the possessions that you have, you want to keep them nice. And I went down and I had to mix some feed in the barn the other day. And so I drove my van down next to the barn so I could pull the feed out. I get it all mixed up. I feed the cow and the sheep. And then I go in to feed the chickens. And I get the eggs and I put them in my pocket. And we were blessed that day because I had two pocketfuls of eggs. And I sat down in my van and I drove it back up to the driveway and I got out of my van and went in the house, took the eggs out, blah, blah, blah. Next day I get in my van and there's an egg on the seat. I thought, because I forgot I had them in my pocket and all that. And I thought, how did that happen? And then I remembered that's how it happened. Put it in the passenger side seat next to me and I'm driving around all day with an egg sitting next to me. Everybody needs some company sometimes. I'm driving around. We want to keep our stuff nice. It's our stuff, right? We want to take care of stuff. And I took my phone because you're not supposed to drive with your phone. So I tossed it into the seat next to me. Yep. Hit the egg. And I had egg all over my seat. And so it's funny. So now you know why we took your mom's van yesterday instead of mine, to eat yesterday. It was Friday I did all that. I texted my sister because I had to deliver some paperwork to her, and I told her, I said, I got an egg in my seat. I can bring it up for you if you want, because she works in a pristine office. And no, we laughed about it. So then I texted her. I says, I broke my egg. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no, it was kind of funny. Because when things happen in life... I just step back and say, oh, I got another story I can tell. I got another story I can tell. It doesn't matter, church. Eternity matters. A bad day at work is just a fleeting memory a week from now. It doesn't matter. The things of God matter. Pertaining to sustenance, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He wraps it up here in the next few verses. He starts out in verse 32. He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows. He sees. He hasn't forgotten you and he hasn't forsaken you. It'll be okay. And you know when it gets to be okay? It gets to be okay when you understand what pertains to eternity. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Write his name down in the inside of your notebooks. Cross your T's find a number that reminds you of him. Set your focus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He wrapped it up wonderful, didn't he? And what's funny is, you're still going to go hungry some. Which we don't go hungry much. You're still going to lose out on something. You're going to be inconvenienced. Guess what? You're going to hurt someday. Sister Mona, we're getting older. We're going to limp a whole lot more by the time we're done than we do now. Although, why is it Brother Joe walks more upright and straighter and stronger than I do? It's just not fair. I'm grunting getting out from under his sink the other day working on it. He goes, I didn't grunt like that until at least 70. He didn't quite put it that way, but basically he told me when he was my age, he was a lot better off. I need exercise. Bad things are going to happen. But when you have a foundation, when you have a life, when you have a practice of seeking first the kingdom of God, all these other things will drift away. I wrote this down. I'm not going to read it like I wrote it. I'm going to change it a little bit. So bear with me a minute. But you know, when we're school-age kids, there were so many things that popped to our mind that we had to do. We got to do this. You know, this is only, and you don't get homecoming weekend when you're an adult, do you? Some adults do, but we call them losers. Oh, but you don't get homecoming. Well, they haven't lived past their high school career. There's something wrong. But we don't get prom as adults. We got words for those too, but we don't get We don't get the games. We don't get those things. So you got to do it now when you're a kid. But then you enter the workforce. Remember when you first got your first job? Do you remember how busy you felt you were, Gideon? You didn't have no time for nothing. I worked every night after school and every Saturday. Every night after school and every Saturday. The bus would drop me off. 3:30, I'd get off the bus, punch my time card. At 6:30, I'd punch out and walk home. About 7 o'clock, I'd get in the house. Every day. I thought I was busy. I got out of school and I started working. I'm setting up my house. I thought I was busy. Then I got married and I realized what busy was. We never had time. Man, we were, and then we had kids. No, that's a good thing. But man, I'm telling you what, you guys keep us busy. I feel like the phrase I say more often is not that daddy's working right now, I can't. I feel like that's always, I don't know, but grandkids are going to come along soon. One thing, it's hard to get older than you are right now. But one thing I'm learning is my energy level isn't as high as it used to be. I don't have the time to do things because I don't have the energy to do things I used to do. And now to do a what used to be a 20-minute project turns into be about 40 to an hour. Because I'm just moving a little slower than I used to. Brother Joe's laughing. He says, wait. But that's my point. All along time, in our process and progress of time, in our growth of time, there's always going to be something vying for our time and our energy and our affections. If you don't start where you are today, don't ever think that you're going to start seeking the face of God tomorrow. It won't happen tomorrow. If you don't lay aside everything that's in the way today and seek first the kingdom of God today, you will never do it in your life. Today is the day. Now is the hour. I'm talking to people I believe are born again, know the Lord. I'm not talking about salvation. I know the scripture says today is the day of salvation. I'm talking about seeking the face of God effectually, fervently, passionately, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Nothing else matters. Laying aside all weights and sins that does so easily beset us and seeking for Him. If you don't do it today, it's just going to get more difficult tomorrow. If I can go back to, I'm probably tomorrow in Lydia's age mostly. Can't read at Isaiah's age. And lay down a foundation, a practice of seeking the face of God then, where would you be today? But the question, if you don't do it today, where will you be tomorrow? And I know we're doing it. I know we're doing it. I know I'm talking to study and love and pray and seeking people. But Jesus is laying out staying here. There's so many temporal things. And He gives them to us to enjoy. He gives them to us too. I'm glad I'm not in a wagon pulled by a horse with that little metal iron thing that they put on top of or a brick that they put on top of the wood stove. And then you wrap it up, put it by your feet, and that's how you kept your feet warm while you were driving a wagon. Aren't you glad that we have? Our biggest problem is it takes about 2 miles for the van to warm up where warm air starts blowing out of that vent. Because I don't believe in warming up my cars. I love the luxury we have, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not going to let it be a distraction to the things of God. So I don't know. I think a little bit of what was brought up on Wednesday night about prioritizing and priorities just kind of reminded me. Like I said, probably the first decade of my ministry was on our priorities. That was my main focus of it. But so important, so important. No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you better seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Don't worry, church. Don't get so caught up in what's going on right now that you lose out on eternity. Lord, I thank You for the fullness of who You are, and I thank You for that reminder this morning. And God, I speak to a group of people that I trust and believe in, that I believe are seeking You. So God, whether it's confirmation, whether it's motivation, or whether it's instruction, God, let it to hit its mark and let it to speak to us as it ought to. I thank You for it, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.